Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Brinkley. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Brinkley and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
Tonight, I want to talk to you about how to affair-proof your marriage. How to affair-proof your marriage. There was a man who was convinced his wife was having an affair, and so he left work early to catch her. Sure enough, when he got to his apartment, he smelled the aroma of a cigar. Rage overcame him. He kicked the door into his apartment. He frantically went through the apartment looking for the man who would have been in the apartment with his wife, and he searched and searched and found nobody, and went over to the window and looked out and saw a man quickly getting into a sports car. The rage overcame him. He ran, picked up the refrigerator, walked to the fourth story apartment window, and threw the refrigerator out on top of the little sports car convertible. When he threw it out, the cord got wrapped around his neck and pulled him out. And crash, end of scene one. Scene two, the pearly gates of heaven. Saint Peter is standing there and he turns to this man and he says, "Why should I let you in?" And the man is an emotional wreck. And he says, "I love my wife. And I was just trying to preserve my marriage. And I felt so bad. And I can't believe that I did what I did." And St. Peter said, "It's all right. It's all right. We understand these kinds of things. Just calm down." He turns to the second man and he says, "Why are you here? And why should I let you in?" He said, "I was just minding my own business. I stopped to get a newspaper. And when I got out of the car and got back in my sports car, the next thing I remember is a pain on top of my head." And he said, "Here I am. I don't know what happened." Then St. Peter turned to the third man and he said, "What were you doing in that refrigerator?" I'm going to tell you something about God. God knows everything. And whether you admit it or not, the Bible says, do not commit adultery. And God knows what's going on in our lives. Adultery can vary from a casual fling to a full-fledged ongoing affair. I read something the other day that said 91% of the TV shows and movies and entertainment that we look at, 91% of the sexual affairs that you see on TV are people who are not married. And so the sex miseducation, the image makers are constantly telling us and showing us beautiful scenes of romantic love and couples who are having a relationship with one another sexually. And yet it seems so innocent, and yet it's destroying families. Thou shalt not commit adultery. King David is the Bible classic. He lusted after Bathsheba. His adultery had driven him to lie and to scheme and to plot. And he had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, murdered. And this little indiscretion, as the world calls it, became a full-fledged, massive scandal that would change the course of David's life. I want to say something, and I want you to listen to me carefully. After pastoring for almost 25 years now, I've never met anyone who has ever committed adultery that did not regret it. I have never met one yet who committed adultery who did not live to regret it. Adultery, even when forgiven, leaves a scar. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Chapters 4 through 7 talks about adultery. It says these words, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap and not be burned? So it is with the man who sleeps with another man's wife." Listen, playing with adultery is playing with fire. Playing with adultery is playing with fire. It's like taking the bricks out in your basement of the bottom floor. The whole rest of the house can collapse. Playing with adultery is playing with fire. Whosoever, it goes on to say, commits adultery is an utter fool, for they destroy their soul. Adultery hurts. It shatters trust. It severs friendships. It degrades people. Adultery causes and destroys families and defiles marriages and defies God. Marriage is about giving. Adultery is about taking. And God, who designed marriage, said, do not commit adultery, because it's a sin against marriage. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, the two shall become one, and no longer two, but one. Let no man separate then what God has joined together. Adultery breaks the unity of two people in their marriage. God is pro-sex inside of marriage. God is anti-sex outside of marriage. Sex is the icing on the cake in marriage. Some people just feed on the icing. No wonder they're sick. Sex is very powerful, and unless it's kept in the confines of marriage, it can explode into a destructive power that can destroy families and homes. Jesus said, you have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Listen to this. But I tell you that anyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her in his heart has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Do you take a second look? A couple was in a shopping mall shopping, looking at an item together. And a gorgeous woman had a great shape walked by. And the man immediately looked at the woman and followed her. And the woman, without even looking up, said to him, was it worth it? The trouble you're now in. Adultery begins on the stage of imagination. Before the enemy gets you in the bed, he has to get in your head. And it all begins with a thought. And notice what Jesus said. And I always didn't understand this verse, because it sounds like he's into self-mutilation. The problem is, if I lust through my eyes, he said, pluck it out. But the problem is, I still got another one, and knowing me, I'd look with the other one. And he said, if you sin with your hand, then cut it off, but you've got another one. The theme is this. Jesus is not saying literally pluck your eye out or cut your hand off. What he's saying is, the problem is not the eye, the problem is your heart. What he's really saying when he says pluck out your eye is means cancel your Playboy subscription, cancel your swimsuit Illustrated, Sports Illustrated edition, cancel some of the TV things and some of the satellite things and some of the internet stuff. Get rid of that. Pluck it out of your life, because it all begins with thoughts that destroy your life. When he says cut off your hand, he's saying take control of the TV flipper. When he's saying cut off your hand, he's saying take control of your computer and get accountable and block inappropriate material. That's what he's talking about. Why am I preaching about this? Why preach a downer on the beginning? Because this stuff, I believe, is the number one threat to most marriages today. The enemy is creeping into homes through the eye gate and through technology. Watch your words. They become thoughts. Watch your thoughts. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character. They control your destiny. Your thoughts become actions. Your actions become habits. Your habits become character, and your character determines your destiny. Jesus called lust adultery in the heart. If we understand how the enemy wants to cause our minds to be saturated. We must live a life that is on guard. He said, if you see things, turn it off. Walk away. Don't rationalize it. The word rationalize is rationalize. He said in Psalms 51, when David committed adultery, David prayed this incredible prayer, and he prayed a prayer, and he said, cleanse me, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And I would encourage anybody under the sound of my voice and everybody that has messed up, that has in any way committed adultery, read Psalms 51. And even in this conference, pray it over your marriage and over your life, and ask him for cleansing, because it is the prayer that David prayed after he committed adultery. God answered it for him. He'll answer it for you. Jesus' words to the woman caught in the very act of adultery is, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus forgave the woman, but he expected her to never do it again. 17 instances are recorded in the Bible where Jesus forgave people of their sins, and he will forgive you and he will cleanse you. So how do you affair proof your marriage? My wife and I, Charisse, have been married 28 years. We met in church. We've raised our family in church. We've not always had a beautiful marriage. There have been times when our marriage was very challenged and very, very stressed. There are times when marriage, I hear and see some of these couples, and they act like it's just heaven on earth all the time. It's just not true. In real marriage, you disagree. In real marriage, you get on each other's nerves. In real marriage, the enemy will tell you, you were better off all by yourself. In real marriage, but I'm telling you, you can bury a marriage with a lot of little digs. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage, because every marriage is the union of two imperfect people. Husbands, never criticize your wife's judgment. Always remember, she chose you to marry. A happy marriage is not how much we are alike and think alike. If I could just get you to do what I want you to do, we would have a happy marriage. That is not what a happy marriage. A happy marriage is not how much we think alike. Even if we don't see eye to eye, we made up our mind we'll walk hand in hand. And many times we've not seen eye to eye, but we keep walking hand in hand, and then the vision becomes clear. If you don't see eye to eye, walk hand in hand. Good communication is hard work in a marriage. Give me a big amen right there. The four hardest statements to make in marriage. The four hardest statements to make in marriage. And boy, you ought to write these down or text them into your phone or whatever it is you're doing. The four hardest statements to make in marriage. Number one, I was wrong. Number two, I am sorry. Number three, forgive me. Number four, I need help. Let's say those, everybody out loud. I was wrong. I am sorry. Forgive me. I need your help. One more time. I was wrong. I am sorry. Forgive me. I need your help. Use these statements often. Use them over and over and over. When you mess up, I'm sorry. I was wrong. One of my favorite lines that I use, I don't know what I was thinking. That'll get you almost out of anything. I don't know what I was thinking. It's just a free little deal there. Help you. A man was given a lecture at a university called How to Make Your Wife Treat You Like a King. And obviously it was well attended by men, husbands. So he walked up to the stage and he said, the answer is simple. How to get your wife to treat you like a king? He said, treat her like a queen. So here's how you affair-proof your marriage. Number one, through respect. I've already hit on some of that, through respect. Be more interested in fixing the problem than fixing the blame. Do you want to be reconciled or do you want to be right? And too many times we spend too much time trying to fix the blame instead of fixing the problem. Just fix the problem and quit fighting. The Bible said, each of you look not to your own interest, but the interest of each other. Major problems in marriages come from one foul word, selfishness. My rights. My rights. And when you got married, you gave up your rights. Secondly, responsibility. Thirdly, romance. These things affair-proof your marriage. When you take responsibility, when you respect one another, when you have romance, if there was more courting in marriages, there would be less marriages in court. Eve asked Adam, do you love me? He looked around and said, who else? What he should have said is, you're the only girl in the world for me. Romance. Remember how kind and tender you were to each other when you were dating? You anticipated the date with excitement. The Bible said, may you rejoice with the wife of your youth. May you ever be captivated by her love. I want to read it again. I want to say it again. May you rejoice with the wife of your youth, meaning just like when you guys first started going out and you were so, you couldn't wait for the call and you couldn't wait for the date and you couldn't wait for the time together. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth. May you ever be captivated by her love. When you dated, it was fun. It was fun. If we don't watch it, the fun goes out of our marriage. The New Testament says husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. And it says that the husband should not deprive the wife of sexual intimacy, nor should the woman deprive the husband. What did Adam and Eve do all day long? There was only two things, gardening and sex. What if you didn't like gardening? We need to cultivate romance again. Respect, responsibility, romance, and lastly, resolve. Many people say, I do, then they don't. Guard yourself. Remain loyal to your wife or to your husband. Prove your faithfulness to each other. It was the president of a university who was 60 years old and brilliant and was thriving in his career. His wife developed Alzheimer's. And he handed in his resignation to the board. The board of directors could not believe someone of his great potential, really just hitting his greatest days, would resign to go take care of a woman who had developed such a bad case of Alzheimer's that she didn't even hardly know who he was most of the time. And finally, one of the board members spoke up in the board meeting when he resigned and said, why are you doing this? She doesn't even know who you are. And he said, but I know who she is. And he said, I made a commitment to her, a promise, a vow, till death do we part. And I don't have to, I get to. I want to say that trying times are not the times to stop trying. They're the times to grab hold of one another, to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish. I want to give you those words again because you said it before God. You said it and you vowed it before God, to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do we part. Marriage will have to endure storms. It will require great resolve. You will have to face things together that the enemy will do everything he can to destroy your marriage and destroy your family and destroy your purity and destroy your children. Because it's not just a battle about you and your wife, but it's about your children and your children's children. Leonardo da Vinci said, an arch consists of two weaknesses. When leaning against one another, make a strength. That's what marriage is. And the starting point of a powerful marriage is when we acknowledge God, I need you. God, without you, I am selfish. I will not do what I ought to do and be what I ought to be. And I'm saying to you tonight that Jesus Christ loves you. And he believes in the purpose and the plan that he has for your marriage and your life. And tonight we've come to say to the spirit of the age, that seducing spirit, you will not have our marriages. The longer we live, the stronger we'll get because we're better together.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and will share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast. Have a great week.